All right, welcome back. 2014 is here, and this is our first podcast.
This is the end of January.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
2014 is basically already over.
I wouldn't go that far. So to get this semester started, last week we went to Fan in Flame. And we had a really good time. I can say for myself, I had one of the best experiences, and I feel rejuvenated. I feel like my mind's clear. No voices are talking to me other than my own, and yeah, it's
you
great.
You have multiple voices.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
you got them on medication, and so that's
why. So anyway, so with that, so welcome, guys. We have John and Gabe here. So thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. I really want us to talk about stuff that isn't always the first thing that we talk about. And the reason for that is, you know, last semester we talked a lot about our own beliefs and what we believe and so forth, but I want to kind of go to the opposite end on when we have struggles in our faith. So when we don't have that faith that leads us or guides us, it's like, do I believe in God? Why do I believe in God? And it comes to a point to where we go down this rabbit hole that doesn't really lead us anywhere other than to, you know, hopelessness and despair and all that stuff. And, you know, how do you get yourself back, or, you know, anything like that. So anyway, so I pose the question, what struggles do you have as a Catholic inside of SPO household?
Sweet. I guess I can start this off. So being a cradle Catholic, I was always taught to believe all these crazy, insane things. But I would say that throughout my journey and throughout my time, that the thing that I find most difficult for me personally to believe, mm-hmm. is the fulcrum of our faith, like, mm-hmm. the foundation of our faith, and that is the idea that God even exists.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's something that I struggle with all the time. And it's like a battle. Like, it's definitely an inward battle of me questioning and asking and wanting concrete evidence. That's the main thing, is that I want concrete evidence of God's existence. And then after that, like, yeah, like, if I believe that God exists, then everything else just completely falls into place. But you have to get past, like, I have to get past that struggle, that main struggle. And then I'm all for it. And then I'm all, you know, I'm down. Down for the count.
Nice. All right. How about you, Gabe?
For me, I would probably say, so just like in the households, you think, or you're saying, is the biggest challenge?
As you as a person.
Yes.
Oh, as me as a person.
Yeah. I mean, what do you struggle with?
I would say for me, the biggest struggle would be growing up, like, in my home parish back in Carrollton, Texas.
Woo-hoo.
Shout out to Carrollton.
All our listeners that are from Carrollton, raise your hands now.
But yeah, I grew up in a parish that wasn't, it was a growing parish still, and we didn't have the strongest, I guess, youth group, you could say. And mm-hmm. I think for me, it was just a culture brought up in kind of just keeping your faith personal. Faith is purely personal, and it was purely just kind of, I mean, me and my parents didn't really talk about it that much. We didn't have discussions about it. It was just kind of going about your business. It's mm-hmm. kind of what you did one time a week. And so I think the more that I learned that it's not something just personal, it's something that, like, it's, we're meant to live in community, we're meant to communicate to one another, just Christ in each other's lives. I think it's difficult for me to go out of myself and go out of my ways to share it with other people. I think that's one of the biggest fears that I have is when I go back home for the summer, and talking with my friends, I think it's just difficult that we have this, like, we have such substance of conversation here, and then mm-hmm. when I go back, it's like it kind of just stops.
It's so dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. You're deprived of it.
And so that kind of gives me a little discouragement at times, like when I think of what I'm going to do when I, like, leave college.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out into the real world, because once I leave this community, it's like, well, am I still going to stand up for what I believe in, or am I just going to conform to a regular kind of routine of just the workplace, you know, and just kind of falling back in where I used to be.
I definitely experienced very similar to you experience, and just where I would you know, maybe be a part of my youth group at the time, and then, you know, but then when I'm with my other group of friends, mm-hmm. it's completely different. And so I understand. Yeah. I understand that completely. When you, John, you said that you want to be shown, or you want God to reveal himself to you. What would that look like?
That is a good question that I also ask myself every day. And actually posed this question to one of my brothers in the house of, for you to 100% believe and all that stuff, what would God have to do to show you so that you would 100% believe? Mm-hmm. And that's a very difficult question, because I don't think I have an answer for you. I've only been toying with that question for a couple months now, what it would be.
But you have to recline at your chest.
Yeah. I think it would have to be something that I couldn't explain, that I could explain scientifically, but in the same way I couldn't explain scientifically, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like, I mean, it would have to be a miracle.
Well, I mean, because I'm not trying to step on you or anything like that. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, even, you know, if we look at our history of our faith, and not even when God has revealed himself, at times he's time has passed, may it be, you know, 30 days, a month later, then we revert back to believing in our own idols.
I think one thing that would be really cool, and I mean, forgive me because I haven't done the research on, but, you know, we have these Eucharistic miracles, things like the body and blood of Christ and the Eucharist turning into flesh and blood. Like, we have those, and, I mean, they've done blood tests on them, but, I mean, we have the technology to do DNA tests now. I don't know if they have, but it would be really cool to see a reputable source do a DNA test on that and find out, like, oh yeah, actually all of these came from, you know, one person, and the other side, like the male, you know, chromosome that came from it is like completely a mystery. Like, it doesn't make sense, but it's there, you know, like something like that. That'd be really freaking cool. Cause we have the technology. I don't know. Like, and then you can't like hold that in. Like, that's something that like, you're like, oh, check this out. This Eucharistic mm-hmm. miracle. Nobody can explain, but it's true. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah. So I think like something like that, maybe I should do some more digging in that. So I don't know if that answered your question at all.
Kind of.
Yeah. I think some concrete proof in that. And yeah, I think it also comes down to a personal experience. But something like that would be like, you can always go back to that, you know, you can always go back to, well, then explain this, you know, explain this stuff that you can still look at right now. And it's not like something that happened, you know, 1,000, 2,000 years ago with writings that can be kind of questionable. Like,
yeah,
that you can still do this right now, even with new technology, and it still holds
true. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's, you know, for me, it's really hard to comprehend and to comprehend something and then be like, okay, wow, that was good. That was truthful, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, because then my mind goes into, well, how is that even possible? And so I definitely understand where you're at with that. I would also, I also kind of liked, when Jesus said, you know, I pray for all those who have, who believe because of this word that is written, and they are not here to experience me. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't there for the experience. And so faith has a lot to do with that. And like, for me, it's really important to remind myself that God was, or Jesus was already praying for me before I even
existed.
Yeah. You know? And that you know, I believe in him because...
That also can seem like poetic beauty. I mean, we have you know, poets who can write something just as beautiful, you know? And yeah. So it's like, how do you know it wasn't just a beautiful story?
Because he's going to take me to heaven, Jack. But the other poet, whoa!
It all comes to the idea that God is real, you know? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's very tough. It's very tough to,
yeah,
to get through that. Something that I was sharing with you earlier, so I have a bunch of like arguments that I don't like personally. One is like when the believer will say to like the atheist, you know, prove to me that like God doesn't exist. Hmm. Like, I hate that argument. That's such a like horrible argument, because like that's like saying, well, prove to me that unicorns don't exist. Like, you can't. Like, there's no evidence of it, so like how can you prove that it doesn't exist? Like, it doesn't exist because there's no, not that there's no evidence for it, but like it's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not there. And so like I've always disliked that. I thought it was just like, so there's that argument. The other argument that I don't really like, that I would say that some atheists would say, is the idea that, well, you're believing something that somebody who, you know, some crazy person from 2,000 years ago wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't like that argument because, I mean, we believe a lot of things that some old person a long time ago wrote. I brought up Pythagoras and his unknowing of or unbelief of irrational numbers, even though he came up with a Pythagorean theorem, allegedly. And so, yeah, I mean, we believe that, even though that was even older than the Bible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I based my reality, or I should say my morality, not morality, my morality, my, the way I think, and all that based on, you know, on that there is a God, and, you know, through the teachings of the church and so forth. And so when I think of me questioning that, I'm thinking of questioning all the people before me as well. You know, like, am I questioning these many centuries of people?
Yeah, but then you fall into the same problem of like, well, why are you questioning the Aztecs for believing in, you know, the sun god? Or why do you question,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, yeah. it's the Indians for believing in their polytheistic, like, you are questioning it, being a monotheistic, you know, Jewish 2.0, you're questioning the people, the Greeks, the Romans, the huge empires. Like, you can say like, oh, Catholicism is like a huge, you can think of it like a huge empire, and a lot of people believe it. Like, so did the Romans. Like, the Romans were able to conquer so many people and convert them into polytheistic beings.
Mm-hmm.
And by being a Catholic, you're questioning the Jews in a sense, in the same way, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Like, it's a slippery slope, man. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both.
I do want to end on a good note, though. I don't want to end right there.
You don't?
I don't, no. Because, yeah. Yeah, because that's...
I think that's the face of the struggle, though.
Yeah, but I think there's more to it than that. Because, yes, it is a struggle, but we all struggle with a lot of things. And I think, you know, even if you're atheist, or even if you are struggling with these things, you'll agree that the journey is the better part. And I think, even though, you know, you can have a beautiful marriage that at times has struggles,
mm-hmm.
the journey in itself is what's beautiful and is what's worth it. And I think, you know, our lives here in the house, and Gabe would definitely agree with me, that our lives in the house, you know, the journey is a beautiful journey, and it's something that's completely rewarding and life-giving. So even though there are struggles and doubts, it's still an amazing thing.
I like it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, again, thank you both for talking with me today. I really appreciate it. And, you know, and I ask all those who are listening that have listened this far, first, thank you. Two, I want you to share this with someone, you know, that is going through a time where they don't understand, or you know, they're having doubts of faith, and knowing that people, or that we, even in a household that is geared around our faith, we have similar struggles, and something that we deal with on a daily basis. So please help us be, you know, help us with our ministry of St. Paul's Outreach, and help us out. So again, please like us on Facebook, send us some questions, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Yeah, we got a mail from Ian, so we want to give a shout out to Ian.
Thanks. Oh, right.
For listening, Ian, and go ahead and anybody
Ian
out there.
Robbins from San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, he's at the asylum over there.
Oh,
the asylum or
assumption?
Assumption Center. Yeah, so I want to give a shout out to Ian. Thanks for sending us a letter, Ian. And anybody that wants to send us a letter, it'd be awesome. Or email, or like us on Facebook, like Adam said. Mm-hmm.